One of the first things that I did was I looked in the mirror at myself, and I couldn't look at myself. I had so much shame because I thought I was damaged goods as a child. And you carry that with you. And so how can you learn about self-love when somebody treated you crappy? You're just trying to survive.
Hello and welcome. Kate Champion here, and this is an extra special episode of the show. I'm excited about two things. Number one, we are celebrating 50 episodes of the show, which is amazing to me and proves once again that it is never too late to follow your dreams. And two, I am honored to be spending some time with Jodi Jilleen. Jodi is a health expert and the creator of the Heal From Within series. Jodi helps people with IBS, bloating, and other chronic health conditions reclaim their lives. And Jodi walks the walk. Absolutely no BS here. Plus, she has gone through it all. Trauma, toxic relationships, and decades of one chronic health issue after another. Until one day, she said no more. Jodi is so aligned with our mission. You can literally feel the joy and the intentionality oozing out across the airwaves. In today's show, we take a deep dive and talk about a lot. Get ready and learn about how Jodi had to begin to stop helping people, break the habit of being chronically busy, and how to begin to take up more space, which is such a powerful concept. We also chatted about some of the key things that helped Jodi heal. For example, learning how to be radically honest with herself, beginning to feel again, and learning how to trust the body's innate wisdom. This conversation is packed full of tips, strategies, and powerful sage advice. You know, everything we do here, from the podcast to the books to the communities, is all about supporting and inspiring you to live a longer, stronger, more intentional life. And this conversation supports everything we do. Thank you, Jodi, for sharing your light. What a great way to celebrate 50 shows. And also to celebrate the big 5-0, I want to thank you. I want to celebrate you, all you are doing, working on, and being in the world. Your voice matters. Your dreams matter. You matter. And for a limited time, I am giving away 50 copies of my best-selling book, You Are Limitless, Anxiety, Grief, Trauma, Addiction, 7 Inspiring Stories of Hope and Healing. This book is so close to my heart and a great resource if you or a loved one is working on healing and learning how to live a more intentional, heart-centered life. There's even a chapter with some exercises dedicated to crushing those limiting beliefs. So grab your download, simply email me at katechampionauthor@gmail.com and request your download. You know, I could not do this without you. Your comments, reviews, shares, and supports are appreciated more than you can ever imagine. So slow down, give yourself permission to listen in today and soak in all the goodness and share it with other people in your life. As usual, all the links will be in the show notes. And whether you are listening for the first time or a regular, please know I appreciate you, I support you, and I thank you for listening today. Okay, my friends, here's to the next 50, and here's Jodi. Enjoy.
Hello, I am so excited to welcome Jodi to the show today. Hi, how are you?
I am awesome. How are you?
I'm good. I hope if you're seeing this, you'll see that she just has this lovely beaming smile. I mean, she just looks like radiant. So, and I'm super happy to connect with you today. So thank you for coming in. I really think we're going to have a fun conversation.
Yes, we are. I know that because we've talked before.
That's right. So tell me a little bit, or tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, your story, your healing journey, and ultimately kind of how you got to what you're doing today.
Yeah. So my story started out when I was, I don't even know, probably 10, 12 years old. And I went to this, I was young, went to this nurse. It's not a nursing home. It's like a, they call it a sanatorium, and it's a place where people go that are not well. And it can be young and old, you know, it didn't matter the age, but people were like in bed, and it was just not a, for me anyway, at that age, not a fun place to be as far as the energy, you know, because it felt down, like you felt bad. And so I remember I thought to myself, I will never end up in a place like this. Like that was like my intention back then. Like I will never end up in a place like this. And so, you know, health's just always been my thing. And I think, I don't know, I think it's probably tied to that and a few other things, but I wanted to take care of my body. So, so then, you know, here I am, you know, doing health things. I've been working out since I was 20 and I've always eaten good. I mean, I'm not perfect, of course, you know, but it's like years later, all of a sudden I started, well, I guess not too many years into in the corporate world, I started having heart issues, which I don't always talk about and I won't really get into, but that started in my early 20s.
Did you say heart?
Yeah, I had an average heart rate of 213 beats a minute.
That's
average normal 60 to 80. Yeah. So I was weak and dizzy a lot. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
I was young. Yeah. But the thing is, and I don't ever share this, but I'm going to be more open about it now. But I was the type that I kept everything to myself because I grew up with a lot of trauma and abuse. Mm-hmm. And so you stay within because that's safe, you know?
Yeah.
I see it now, you know, but back then you're so young, you know, you don't know. So I'm like not telling anybody for years what's going on with me. And I didn't know, but I was weak and I would get dizzy, but I still did my normal life. I still went to the gym. I did everything. But I remember when I would climb the stairs, like I would, even though I work out, you know, but I would be at work and there were stairs and I would be holding stuff like carrying papers or whatever. Yeah. And I remember getting to the top of the stairs and I'd have to like walk slow just to catch my dizziness, you know, but when I would, like, if I held something against my chest, you could literally, cause you could see my heart beating. I would do that to hide. Cause you could literally see my heart pounding. Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, I'm so curious. Did you like collapse one day and end up in the emergency room or what?
No, never did any of that. I actually went to, I finally went in and they were telling me that, you know, I'd have to have surgery and all of this. And they really had no idea what was going on with me because it was, probably a couple years later, maybe, I can't remember all the time frame anymore, but they said, well, go in and do a Holter monitor. And I had never had that before. And the woman puts it on me and she goes, press this when you have a symptom. And I said, well, I always have a symptom. And she said, she rolled her eyes, just press it when you have a symptom. You know, I have tons of stuff like that. Yes. Just tons of stories with that stuff.
So
you don't know your body, you know, it's like, so I was like, well, I guess this one's worse, you know, and so I'm pressing the button. So anyway, so I end up bringing it in and they took it off 24 hours later. And she goes, they'll call you in a couple days after they review it. Well, they called me in a couple hours. And he was like, oh my God, they were in shock at how bad it was. I ended up having the surgery and it came back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's when they did the Holter monitor. Gosh, I forgot all that. Yeah. So anyway, so they did that. And that was when he was like, oh my God. And it was like summer. And he's like, I can't get you in till like October. It was like a few months away. And I was like, okay. And he's like, but are you going to be able to live that way for that long? I'm like, are you kidding me? It's been 10 years, you know? Anyway, so, and then I was in the hospital month after month, test after test, and still wasn't getting better. And then I realized I was a guinea pig, and I was like, oh my God. And then I actually got started. It's actually a protein powder that I take that, like, it changed me in 6 weeks. I was like, it was like night and day. I wasn't weak. I wasn't dizzy. And I ate great. I was very much, you know, broil my chicken, have my veggie. Like, I ate really well. So yeah, it changed everything for me.
So a protein powder?
It's a protein powder. Yeah.
Is the solution?
Huh? Yeah, that was my solution. Yeah. Yeah. Changed my life. I've been taking it ever since, every day. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they told me I couldn't have kids. They said, if you had kids, they'll have birth defects, cause I'm not getting enough oxygen. So they wouldn't be getting enough oxygen. Uh-huh. And so, I mean, my baby's 26 now. So, and she never had anything. Yeah. So.
Oh my gosh, that's a wild story.
Yeah.
This isn't what we were going to talk about today.
I know, but you know what? It ties in because, yeah, I don't share this story, although it's on my YouTube from a long time ago. But it's now everything I know and the work that I do, mm-hmm. my heart was broken as a child. And it's no surprise it showed up in my heart.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's heartbreaking. I mean, that phrase, right? Yeah. It's heartbreaking, right?
Yeah. Heartbreaking. Yeah. So everything is tied to the body.
Yeah.
Emotions, these things we experience, our body feels it. Our body tells us, our body gives us symptoms because it's always speaking to us. Yeah.
And we are so disconnected. I'm a therapist, right? I'll tell you. I work with that 99% of the time. Okay, what's happening in the body? Well, tell me what's happening. What's notice the body? And it's like people come in and they have no clue. No clue.
Yeah.
Tension, you know, gurgling, tightness. It's a whole education, but it's vital.
Oh my God. It's vital. It's huge. Yeah, we're taught. We're so programmed to seek our health outside of us when really it is within us to, you know, healing the emotional component, the thoughts, the reconnecting to the body. Mm-hmm. And when I say outside, it's like, you know, and I hope nobody takes this, you know, personally, but my experience is I've gone the doctor route and I've never gotten anywhere. And I'm not saying they don't help you with certain things, but if you want true healing, you've got to get to the root cause, in which we know it's the emotion, your body. You got to figure out what your body is saying and you're able to release it out of the body.
That's right. I mean, because emotions are energy, right? They're little, they're energy, and the energy has to be kind of held, noticed and held, and then it has to be allowed to move through.
Yeah.
And, you know, and tears, right? Crying. I can't tell you how many people I see that don't cry. I never cry. I haven't cried for 10 years. I just don't cry. It's like, what? I mean, that's,
I used to do
that. So important.
Yeah. Yep.
Get those tears going, you know?
Yeah. But the thing is, and you know this too, it's like, because of the people you work with, I'm sure you've seen it's almost like you're numb inside. Cause you learn to not, cause when I was young, I'd hold my breath so I wouldn't cry. So nobody would see the pain that I felt inside, the emotional pain. So then it becomes this habit. So you're not breathing. You're not crying. You're kind of numb.
You're numb. Cause you're not breathing. You're not feeling, you're not talking, you're not expressing. You're just shut down. I mean, really just degrees of shutdown. Yeah.
Trying to survive.
It's just heartbreaking. I mean,
Yeah.
Because with a little kid, you see a kind of a typical, you know, little kid that's in a fairly reasonable situation. I mean, they are just little joy machines. I mean, they're like little emotional munchkins, right? I mean, it's emotions all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And that is that is how we start, right? That is normal, typical. We are engineered for that. Yeah.
And I'll tell you something that people may not even think about. I do, because I researched this when my daughter, before she was born, but, you know, homeschooling, I'm a homeschooler, and mm-hmm. that might be like, sound crazy to people, not today, but it was when I did it. But it's like, kids need to move, and we're big kids, so we need to move too. But think of, you know, when you go back and you look, and it's like, you know, like you were saying, they're joy machines, they're running around, they're playing, they're being, they're imagining, they're everything. So think back to when you're little, and then you have to go to school and you have to sit at this desk and you have to just, you know, do the thing, whatever it is, but you have to confine yourself. You have to ask permission to go to the bathroom. You have, you know, and so then the walls just start coming in on you. Yeah. You know, even if you didn't have trauma as a child at home, maybe you had loving parents, but then you go to school and then all these things. And it's like, you're pretty soon, you know, have the wrong answer. They tell you everything you did wrong, not everything you did right. When I was like, oh, you got this right. You got this right. You know, because we need to hear that, because we hear so much of what we do wrong in the world. And then we think we're bad. And
yeah,
you know, it's not things that people think about, you know. And I know people send their kids to school. I'm not like knocking school or anything, but I'm just saying this is how we start to develop or not develop in certain areas because of this constriction.
Yeah, it's how we begin to kind of shut down those emotions and then focus on the not so great, right? The what I call the lower vibrational emotion, shame and guilt and kind of feeling bad and I got it wrong and can't do anything right. That's a lot for a little person, right? And they internalize all that. It's all about them. I must be, you know, it's all I. They're super egocentric. It makes sense.
Then we wonder why, you know, even kids have health issues. But I see health issues like chronic, like bad health issues in 20s and 30s. It's not for people that are, you know, supposedly older. No, it happens. So young, and that should never be. But it's because of all the trapped emotions, which we don't learn. So kind of circle back to where I was with, you know, the doctors. Mm-hmm. It's not their field. They do their field well, right? If you have a car accident, whatever. But if you want to get to the root of symptoms and turn that around, it's really the emotional route.
Absolutely. So go back to your story. We got on the heart problem, tell us more, because there's more. You got more health stuff in your background.
And so then I don't know, maybe a year or two later, it didn't take long for the next one to come. It was a few months before I was about to get married. I started to get these digestive issues, and it was kind of off and on, you know, and I was like, oh my God, what's going on? Right. I got to wear my wedding dress and whatever. And in the back of my mind, knowing I probably shouldn't get married.
Oh.
You know how you have these, like, you kind of have these inklings, and, you know,
it's like a radical honesty, right? Our internal radical honesty. Yeah. We know we have that little voice. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm going to stop talking. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. And so I get married, and boom, then my stomach was huge after that. It never got better. Like, I looked 9 months pregnant for 19 years. It took me to figure it out. 19 years. Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't, it never went away. Like, it wasn't like one day I looked big and then, you know, the next day I was fine. No, it was constant. And it wasn't even that. It was, I was hours and hours and hours and hours and hours a day in the bathroom. Like, I couldn't do things. I couldn't go anywhere. And, you know, your symptoms take over your life. So what kind of life, you know? Like, I remember once going somewhere and I had so much pain, because pain was part of it too. But this time it was so much pain that I couldn't stand up straight because I couldn't breathe because just the pressure in my belly. And so it's like, you're, you know, trying to look okay, you know, you're feeling like, oh my God, hi, how's it going? You know, and you're thinking you're probably looking okay, but they probably can see you're like stiff, you know, because I couldn't breathe and I'm trying to stand straight, but I couldn't, you know? Yeah. And then, you know, like, curled up in a fetal position on the couch and, you know, I mean, just all of that and more, you know, it just was excruciating.
So what was that? What was the stomach stuff? I mean, what was that? What?
Emotional.
I really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm somebody who, since I was 22, like right out of college, health and self-development were my things. All I ever did was read and learn all about that, like inside and out, you know? And so I'm going, why can't I figure this out already? I know this stuff, you know, I've done a lot of self-development type stuff and I've transformed some of my shame. Didn't realize it was another layer, but you know, I did heal some shame. And we talked about that earlier. And then, so I'm like, this is crazy. Cause I'm good at this, you know? But I was missing the one component was the emotions and the reason and how so let me tell you how I ended up figuring that out. But I have to tell you a story about how, so I got a divorce. I dropped like 15 pounds like that. but anyway, I ended up getting in a relationship with an abusive narcissist, very verbally abusive, like really bad. So even though I had done healing on my past, as you know, as a therapist, people, as much as you don't want it, like you attract that in your life.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, a man like that would never show up in my space because I've healed that. I do not resonate on that level. Never would happen because of the healing work I did. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway, yeah.
I want to tell people that that is possible, right? You can change these unconscious patterns. You can change them and you can shut that door, right? Shut the doors if you are attracted to people that don't treat you well, not just relationships, but anybody, kind of friends, family.
Exactly.
You can change that and you can shut that door. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. You do. You change. Like, it's like, hell no. You know, like.
And you can go back to the feelings. You can feel it.
Right?
You can feel it when you're in the presence of somebody that's super toxic, right? I mean, my whole body lights up like a Christmas tree. It's like, oh my gosh, there's no, thank you, bye, gone, right? Yeah. All right, back to your story. So you get divorced, you drop 15 pounds.
Yeah, something like that. I don't weigh myself, but I think it's probably that. I never weigh myself. I only go by how my pants fit. So I'm with this abusive narcissist and I got to the point that I felt like I was going to have a nervous breakdown. I could not take the abuse anymore. And I'll tell you, here's another body piece to this. I almost forgot. So in the middle of this, my upper torso, like my upper body and my bottom torso, twisted. I twisted, like I was out of whack, like literally twisted to the point that the weight on the distribution of weight on my right leg, I remember it was so much my weight went on the right knee, like above the right knee, that I had so much pain because it's not natural, you know? And I could hardly walk for probably a good year. Yeah. I mean, talk about this is what happens in the body. Like my body was like, I can't do this anymore, you know?
Goodness.
And, but then, you know, you think it's going to get better. It's just the whole same story, right? And finally, I got to the point, I was like, I don't even know now. I just remember feeling like I'm going to break, you know?
Yeah.
So I just said, never call me again, and hung up. Well, of course he tried calling again, because, you know, he's a narcissist. but anyway, that actually started my healing process. I had to hit rock bottom in order to say, I will never let a man abuse me again, because I was abused by men as a child. So it's like, I will never let, like, that's where I had to get to, like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it takes that rock bottom in order for you to go, I need to change this.
Yeah. Yeah. And people do, they do get to this, they get to this never again point, right? It's like almost like that something snaps, something clicks. Yeah. I mean, like, never again. And it's like a whole, again, body kind of energy shift. And then you really shifted your compass, right? You're really on a different track, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Yep.
Not easy, right? I mean,
not easy. It's a journey. Yeah, it's a journey.
Taking a quick break to pause here and celebrate 50 episodes of the Living Big Mindfully podcast, which is amazing to me. And to celebrate the Big 5-0, I want to thank you. I want to celebrate you and all you are doing, working on, and being in the world. For a limited time, I have decided to give away 50 copies of my best-selling book, You Are Limitless, Anxiety, Grief, Trauma, Addiction, 7 Inspiring Stories of Hope and Healing. This book is so close to my heart and a great resource if you or a loved one is working on healing and creating a more intentional, heart-centered life. There is even a chapter dedicated to crushing those limiting beliefs. It's easy. Simply email me at katechampionauthor@gmail.com to request your download. You know, I could not do this show without you. Your comments, reviews, shares, and support are appreciated more than you can ever imagine. So take a moment, jump onto that email, email me at katechampionauthor@gmail.com, grab your copy of the book, and share the show with your favorite people. Okay, let's get back to the conversation.
I had a friend that stayed with me for a short time, and she and I was a single mom, you know, and I was running around like crazy, stressed out, you know, trying to make ends meet. And she said to me, "What in the hell are you doing?" And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "You're running around. You don't get enough sleep. You're, you know, busy all the time." And she goes, "You need to slow down." I said, "Are you nuts?" Like, I literally was like, "Are you nuts? I can't slow down. I'm a single mom. I got to make ends meet. I got to pay rent. I've got, you know, blah, 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 the story, whatever I said, you know." And it feels so real to you, you know, because you're in this and you're trying to survive because you learned that as a child.
Yeah.
So we get in the survival mode, and here we are years later trying to survive still. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And so then I went, "Oh my God, she's right. I do need to slow down, because I broke my ankle." And that's another story I won't even get into, but seriously. Anyway, everything just hit me, you know. But I'm like, okay. And so I started to slow down. It was hard in the beginning, because it's like, people don't realize you to speed up, you need to slow down.
Yeah. And I don't think people realize too, there is so much habit and conditioning around doing and going and just pushing. And it almost feels like that's the way it should be, but it is not. That's not our natural way. But again, so much habit and like conditioning, it's wired in, right? It's wired in. But again, it is changeable, but it is deeply wired. So it is hard, very hard. Yeah.
It's the world we live in. Like I said, that stuff that happens to you when you're little and all the conditioning and the programming, and you got to get a job, you got to go to college, you got to do this, you got to work hard, then you're going to retire. And it's like, yeah, but you can do it a different way, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And
what have you done? How have you healed? Obviously you've been through so much. How have you done this a different way?
Yeah. Well, I've always been very alternative. That's why I was like, why can't I figure this out? I do not follow mainstream anything. I'm always going the other way. I'm very all natural. So that's like very, very big for me and very important for me. Like I've always, even shopping, I shop based on my values and I shop at small mom and pops. I've been that way since I was like 18. I don't know. It just was in me. I don't care. Even I'm struggling. It costs more. I still do it. It's just a value. Otherwise you don't feel congruent inside and that will cause health issues too. You know, you gotta be aligned in your body.
Yeah. So help listeners with that word congruent. What does that? Yeah. Let's flesh that out a little bit. Cause I think that's actually super important. So let's talk about that for a second. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, you talk about conditioning. So you're conditioned to do this, but you're going, but I don't know. I feel like this, but everybody's doing this. An example would be maybe going to college, you know, like, oh, you know, you've got to go to college and get this degree and you might be getting pressured by people, but yet you're like entrepreneurial maybe. And matter of fact, I watched this guy who talked about that and his parents were upset with him and yet he knew, and then he was living in their basement but he knew, and then he just started doing YouTubes and he was terrible at them and it took him like, you know, a few years and then he was getting better and now he's making millions, you know? So it's like that. He still trusted inside that is not the way for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the way for me.
Yeah. So for me, it's again, it's almost like that, you know, that little voice that told you this is getting married is not a good idea, right? It's not listening to our deep intuition, right? Those voices, that deep intuition, like, and being out of alignment with that, you know? Yep. So going to college to please the parents when, like you said, you really want to go and, I don't know, hike in the Himalayas or something, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you just go with the flow because of the conditioning, because of the pressure, because of, you know, culture tells us that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. The conditioning in this world of doing what everyone else does. No, you're your own person. Do you.
So being congruent and aligned, right, with your values, with your intuition, with, you know, those little voices inside, that sounds like it was a big part of your kind of healing journey.
Yeah. I started slowing down. I have something I call my step away method. And that really helped me because the mind is going all the time. So that helped me to get out of the constant mind chatter. And then my friend would tell me different things here and there. And then I would kind of intuitively go in. And one of the things that I did was, and actually she told me, you need to go, you should go to like a hotel or something, go out of town and sit for a day and ask yourself why you allow this man to abuse you. And so I was like, yeah, I think I need to do that because I got to take ownership of this, right? So I didn't go away. I spent probably 4 hours at home because you have a daughter and everything. She was young. And because we can blame, oh, he did this. Yes, he has to take his ownership. But what does that have to do with me? Nothing really, you know, it's my life. So I've got to take ownership because I allowed it for 3 years. 3 years.
That has to be incredibly hard to say. Is that incredibly hard to say? I allowed
it. It was then, like, it was painful. Yeah. Yeah, emotionally painful. Yeah.
Yeah. And yet so, I mean, talk about radical honesty, right?
Yeah.
So honest and also so courageous to actually say, you know, I had a part in this, and what's my role here?
Yeah. Wow. Because we always do, but we don't want to do it. It's too hard. And you know,
our body is numb. We're not. Yeah.
Our body wants to stay safe. We want to see ourselves a certain way. We don't want to look at that side, like, or those thoughts. No, I'm good. Well, I let him abuse me. I took it. But what does that say how I felt about myself? You know, and I was like, wow, I had to admit, I don't love myself. I don't feel worthy. I feel like I'm just a piece of shit, you know, like that's what was going on in my head. Cause I remember, for a lot of my life, I would say under my breath, if somebody was rude to me or like, I'm not a piece of shit, you know, I must have learned when I was little thinking I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hope I can swear on here, but
oh no. Yeah, no, I'm totally hearing you. Totally
and
hearing
one, and one thing I want to point out before we go on is I blocked out 95% of my childhood because of the trauma. I still don't remember it. So you can heal even if you don't have to remember. You can heal.
Yeah. I just want to highlight that from because again, I work a lot with trauma and people's when they come in and they don't remember a lot of their childhood, for me, that's like, okay, what's going on there, right? Because that's not typical. That's not a sign of a happy, kind of healthy childhood, But B, people do think, oh, I have to remember everything and I can't remember anything and I don't want to remember everything. And we can heal without remembering and going through all the gory details. So it's really important to hear that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Tell us more. You have this you have this epiphany, you're in the hotel room, you're really looking at, you know, ownership.
Yeah.
In this relationship.
And I cried and cried and cried. Talk about crying. I hadn't cried in probably 10, 15 years before that. So yeah, that was healing to be able to do that. And then I just started seeing how stressed I was and started reducing the stress, and then learning how to love myself. Like what the heck is this deep self-love people talk about? I don't even know what they mean, you know? Okay. Yeah. I think I love myself, you know, but no, now I can say I deeply love myself, but you don't even know, you know?
Yeah.
And then the slowing down, boundaries was a thing. I did not have any boundaries. You know, you're codependent. You're a people pleaser. I mean, you are, because you learned it. It's as much as maybe someone doesn't want to see it. That's just what comes with being abused. Don't you see? Or don't you think you see that in your?
Yeah. I mean, that's just this unhealthy emotional attachment, right? When you think about kind of attachment theory, it's a really unhealthy kind of toxic attachment. And again, in the emotional body that we on some level kind of know that, but on another level we it's hard to stop that, right? It's hard to switch gears.
And I remember thinking, because a lot of people told me I was too nice my whole life. And so I was at that crossroad of, I got to stop being nice. And then I'm like, I like being nice. What's wrong with being nice? Why do I have to not be nice? Because you can't handle it. And you want to like abuse me, or you want to be mean to me, or you want to cross my body, you know, like all this was going on in my head. And I'm like, I don't even know how to be in the world. I was just like, you know, because you don't learn it. You don't. When you're little, I mean, it's not like I couldn't function and I was, you know, it's not that at all. Of course, I was in the world. I did well, you know, when I was in corporate and all, you know what I mean? But inside, this is going on, you know?
Yeah.
So, and more to more people than people have any idea that most people struggle with this stuff. I think you're the only one. No. Right. The most successful people struggle with this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so it's like, you know, I don't know if anybody's thought that. That's listening. I don't even know how to be in the world, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel that this week. I think I've actually heard that from somebody this week. I don't even know how to be in the world. You know, from a professional 40-something year old female, you know, professional, checking all the boxes, and part of her feels like she doesn't even know how to be in the world.
Yeah. Right? And that's all the mask for the outside. Mm-hmm. That's why, like I was saying earlier, like it's all got to come from within. doesn't matter what happens out there. It'll fall apart if you're not healed within. It'll fall apart for you.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
Because so you can look internally and heal whatever it is that's creating what you don't want in your life. And that's not easy, but it's not easy. You can do it.
It is. So I want to get to the do it's, right? So you talked about, you know, taking ownership, and you talked about learning to love myself, right? And that, you know, look on Instagram. I mean, that phrase is flown around all over the time. It has no real substance. And it's like, what the heck does that even mean? What the heck does that even mean? And how do we even begin to do that? So help listeners maybe dig through that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So, one of the first things that I did was I looked in the mirror at myself, and I couldn't look at myself. I had so much shame because I thought I was damaged goods as a child. And you carry that with you. And so how can you learn about self-love when somebody treated you crappy? You're just trying to survive. So, I started having to learn to connect with myself by looking at myself. And so when I could start looking, tears would come down my eyes, you know? And so you've got to connect with yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's one way to do it.
That's beautiful. Again, heartbreaking, right? When you shared that, it's like I could just feel like, so sad, right? So, so sad, but just also so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the journey I went through to be able to help other people. I mean, it's just, how can I not? I was like, oh my God, I got to help people with this, you know?
So then what? So you start to look in the mirror and really connect with yourself through the eyes. And they say the eyes are the windows to the soul. And I think that's...
Because you see yourself versus this persona of what we're told we are in this world. We're really told all the limitations were put on you. It's not that you thought that as a child, because we'll bring it back to the beginning when you said kids are just joy machines. I think you said joy machines. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I love that term. And they're just being. And then you become an adult, and because of all the, you know, rigid, you know, kind of holding you in, you can't even be yourself. That's why he's like, I don't know how to be in the world. I just want to be me. But with all these restrictions and things that have happened, and the conditioning, the programming, don't get me started with the, you know, like advertising and all that, like there's something wrong with us and we need this and that in order to look good or be happy or whatever they're selling, you know, flavor of the day. So this is all on us, you know, and then, you don't look like this model that's been airbrushed. What's wrong with you? You know? And so here we are thinking, we don't feel good about ourselves inside. No wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what was I saying? No, I like got off on a tangent there.
Well, I was asking about learning to love yourself, right? And you was asking just to flesh that out a little bit, because I think that term is really shared very flippantly, like it's just like a kind of a tagline, right? But what does that really mean, and what does that really look like? And you were sharing that you started with just really deeply looking at yourself in the mirror and connecting eyes.
Yeah,
really, very powerful, very emotional for you.
Yeah, and I was saying, because we are the body, but we're not the body, you know, we're in a body, but we're so much more. And so, all the conditioning of the world that we have to look or be a certain way. And we're told to, you've got to do this, this, and this, like check the boxes. But if that's not who you are, then how can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really learning about yourself. How am I not honoring myself? Where am I not honoring myself?
Mm.
I wasn't honoring myself in that, just allowing the abuse is not honoring yourself. And then, you know, like letting people cross my boundaries and, oh my God, speaking your voice, because that's also showing yourself self-love, like all these little things. And one of the things that I tell people too is to take up space in the world, because I see this all the time, women. Okay. And I used to do it too, but now I pay attention. I observe. And so I was at the coffee shop a while back, and this woman was like, oh, excuse me. She didn't say excuse me. She was, I think, moving out, or I forget what she said. I don't know. It was a while ago, like moving out of the way, you know, like she, and I could have gone around her, but she just, it was almost like she was shrinking and moving and accommodating me when she really didn't have to. I mean, it was a small space, but I still, maybe she could have moved slightly, but I could see that. I could see the old me in her, like, oh, I'm sorry, let me get out of the way, you know. And it's nothing bad or wrong with that, you know, she's being polite, but she wasn't honoring her space in the world right in that moment. And so it's not easy to honor your space. Guys, you know, they'll just like take up space, you know, they're, yeah, what do you want, you know? And we're like, and this is how we're conditioned as women. And so I'm not, this is like normal that we're just like, oh, sorry, I'll move over, you know?
Yeah, you're so right.
You know, meek and whatever. Yeah. So I tell women, take up space. And I say, what does that mean? Well, you know what? First, start with physical space. You're on the bus, you take up two spots. You put your leg up, whatever. You're in the line, you take up space around you. It's going to feel uncomfortable. But when you can start taking up space, if somebody's walking by you, and your instinct is to move so they can get a stay there, let them figure it out. This is starting to honor you.
Love that.
Here's another one to put yourself.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what happened when I did not. So my friend said, you need to put yourself first all the time. Oh my God. That's like, what? We don't do that as women. We do not put ourselves first. This is also loving yourself. So I was like, she said, do it for 30 days, say no to everything. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. Okay. But I'm like, no, I'll take the challenge. Right. Cause I'm trying to, you know,
okay.
I'm figuring stuff out myself. She's helping me, you know, I'm like trying to navigate this new, you know, me that I'm trying to, you know, work into. This has nothing to do with my gut, by the way. This was still healing from the abusive narcissist stuff. So, and I'm telling you that for a reason, which you'll find out in a minute, or maybe five. But anyway, so she's like, yeah, just focus on you. Just say no to everything, right? Just do everything for you and no, don't. Oh yeah, that's what she said. Don't help anyone. That's what it was. Don't help anybody.
Okay.
Well, that sounded like, you know, this big task, right? But I'm like, okay, well, I can do that, right? Finally. So I go to this conference and I'm doing online stuff and I'm like wanting to create this website, and I went to the conference and I have this big idea and I'm gonna present it because I paid this money for this coach, travel all the way there. And I have a clunky computer, you know, has to be plugged in all the time. The battery dies quickly and all that. So anyway, so I'm there and a lot of people are taking way more of their time than they were allotted. So then here we are toward the end of the day and more have to go. So already the time has shrunk, you know, so there I am, you know, not honoring me when I should have been bold and went in the beginning and, you know, all that. And so anyway, so a guy went up ahead of me And his computer wasn't working and he needed a plug in. And I'm sitting in the front row, which is not like me. I don't know why I was in the front, but I was in the front row. And he's like, "Does anybody have a charger?" And I'm like, looking away, looking down. I'm like, no, you're not supposed to help anybody. Okay. Plus, my computer doesn't keep a charge. I had everything up and ready on my computer at this point because it could like crash and all kinds of things could happen. It was just a clunky computer. And this was a long time ago. And so anyway, and he kept asking and asking, and then they were up there trying to figure it out. Nobody was helping him. Nobody. And there had to be like 30 people in there, 25, 30. And I was like, he kept asking, and then he asked again. I'm like, yeah, you can use mine. I gave in. I was just like, I couldn't stand it that nobody was helping him. Well, okay. So he used it, did his presentation, whatever. So then it's my turn and I go up there and I, open my computer to start, and my whole computer died. And yeah, because the charge, and then I tried plugging in, tried pulling things up, and it was a disaster. So then I'm talking, and then I'm trying to explain without having my visual aids. I'm nervous. I'm upset because I helped somebody when I wasn't supposed to, and just, all this stuff going on. And when you're in your head and you're trying to be up there and present and look coherent, like I know what I'm talking about, when I'm like feeling all not congruent inside.
That's right.
And so anyway, I was already nervous about the thing that I had and all of that. So anyway, it was a disaster. It didn't go well. I didn't get any help. Basically, it was just a trip for nothing, So I had gone out, I had, finished, and then I went out in the hallway and I was like teary eyed and stuff and let that out. And then I came back in and the guy's like, "You need more confidence." He says that to me, and I was like, F, I'm like, I don't need this right now, So yeah.
Wow.
It was terrible. And I was like, what did I get? The universe said, okay, you're not going to take care of you for 30 days. Then it was a disaster. That's what I get. I helped somebody. Not saying you never help anyone.
Right. But in that time of life,
It was learning how to love and honor me first.
Yeah.
And now, of course, I know, I will always check in with myself first. Before I do something. And I love helping. It's what I do for a living, right? But it's like, you've got to honor you first, because we can do the cup example. Well, if your cup's not full, it's going to be, you're going to be empty. So my computer, battery wasn't full. It was empty when I went to use it. Because I didn't honor myself,
you're filling up somebody else's cup. Yeah.
Yeah. So these things, they may not seem huge, but they are. Subtle things are huge. Because look at, you honor yourself, you put yourself first, so you're not frazzled and empty and not available in your life. You connect with yourself. You put boundaries. I remember I was really afraid to do a boundary, but when I did it, it was a baby one. When I did it, they were different to me. And I was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. You just take baby steps. And I remember, do we have time for another quick story?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
It just made me think of something. So I was working part-time in this leasing office, and somebody below me was you can tell he was probably abused as a kid. He had these weird, quirky things, you know, and he would pound on the desk, and then he was watching these games. It was very odd. So it was like, wow, maybe he learned it from his dad too. You know, who knows? You know, guys get weird about games, you know. And I could hear it when I walked closer. That's how I knew it was games. But anyway, and it continued and continued. And I'm like, I was working on my business and I was working part-time. And so when I was home, I needed to focus because I didn't have a lot of time. And, you know, that distraction. And the property manager said, do you want me to call him? I said, no, it's okay. That's me being, you know, not honoring myself at the time. It's okay. And finally, one day, I had it up. He was doing it. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't take another second of it because it's so bad, the pounding. And I don't do well with the pounding either. But anyway, something took me over because this is not like me. I went down the stairs because I was like right above him. And I went like this, boom, 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 boom on his door. Nothing. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, I was pounding hard on his door. I said, if you don't stop, like, I can't take it anymore. I never heard from him again. But for me, that I always had a fear if I stood up that I would be physically hurt. That was my fear inside. And it was very real to me. And so, my God, I stood up for myself and he's a man and he didn't come out and hurt me. Yeah. And so that was so healing for me. So healing. Just that one thing.
It's huge.
That's why these little things are so important.
Yeah. Because
then it's like, oh my God, I'm safe. You know, like,
Yeah, that's huge. That's really huge. That moment. And did he stop pounding?
He never. Oh, yeah. He stopped his. Yeah.
Pounding.
Yeah. You had, and then he moved out like a couple months after
and you had the voice and you went down there with all, and how powerful, like you went down there with this power. You know, people think, maybe women more so, think anger is bad and that type of expression is bad or not okay, or but it is okay, right, to really be powerful like that. That was amazing. Beautiful. Yeah. So we have been lots and lots of places today.
I know, right?
And your expertise is gut health, right? I mean, we haven't even mentioned gut health. We're kind of bloating health, right? And the importance of those types of things. Do you want to kind of try and kind of connect that in?
Yeah,
here?
Totally. I'll do that in like just a couple minutes here. So I did all this stuff to heal, you know, like all, you know, the stuff that I, and, you know, and a few, some more things, but basically my goal was to never be abused again, you know, heal the wound of this trauma from this narcissist, get rid of my stress, start honoring myself and boundaries and this kind of thing, you know, and that was my goal. And so I did that. I healed that. And all of a sudden my stomach, from looking 9 months pregnant for 19 years, got flat.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what happened? I wasn't even thinking about my gut at that point because I was so working on all my other stuff as I'm, you know, trying to still make it. I'm a single mom, you know, and all of that, homeschooling and And so anyway, it was like, wow. And so I would at that time, so when that happened, I was like, oh my God, this was emotional. Like I knew it right then that it was emotional because I used to do talks in front of moms and, you know, on women's health, or I do children's health talks, you know, many years before that. And one of the things I would say is, what the mind harbors, the body manifests. Well, I knew it, right? We know this intellectually, but we know a lot of things intellectually, but until you embody it, that's a whole different energy. You know, it's a whole different energy. Well, I got it at a visceral level, like, holy man. But I'll tell you what solidified it. So in my healing, I'd have, you know, my stomach was flat. Maybe I'd, you know, have a few not good days till it got better and better and better, consistently better. So one day my friend was over visiting and we were standing there talking in the kitchen and my phone rings and I look down and instantly my stomach got huge. Like, because I looked down and it was the narcissist calling. And I looked at her and I pointed to my belly. I'm like, look. So I knew, I mean, that solidified it for me that it was emotional, right? How can your stomach go from, you know, flat to huge, like in an instant? Yeah. Emotional.
Wow.
Yeah. Because those emotions are in the body. They're trapped in the body. And so the work I did released that out of the body. I didn't know. And I was like, wow, okay. We've got to heal the emotions. That's the root of what symptoms are, because your body always speaks to you. You don't need a pill. I mean, yes, take one if you need to get by, but if you want to get to the root, you've got to get to the root of the emotional component that's going on in there. And when you heal that, your body heals. That's how you heal your body.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. So true. I'm just resonating with so much with what you're saying, and so much resonates with my journey as well. And it's just so true. I mean, there's just so much truth there. So thank you so much for sharing your story and being so generous today. And you're radiant. Again, you can really see and feel that you've cleared a lot, right? You've truly cleared.
Yeah,
I sit with a lot of people, thousands of people, and you know, you pick up energies and things, and you can see that you really, really cleared a lot. Yeah, it shows. Yeah. So I'm just grateful for you. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's been the journey. I mean,
you know. Lifelong. It doesn't end, right?
It never ends. Next level.
Something always is going to come up, absolutely, at the most inconvenient time.
Because I have, and I'm sure you're the same way. I'm not going to speak for you. Sorry. I have the desire to just grow. I want to be my best. And so I do go to that next level of myself.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah. So before I ask the kind of the sage advice question, is there anything else you want to share or express today that, you know, for listeners? Well,
I want people to know that their body always speaks to them through symptoms. Symptoms mean your body is telling you there's something deeper to heal. That's it. Every one of your emotions. Because I hear somebody going, all of them? All my symptoms? Yeah, all your symptoms.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got to go. You've got to do the emotional work. You've got to do the work.
The body responds to the energy. Everything is energy. We are energy.
Everything is energy.
And that not healing those past wounds, and we all have wounds. We all have them. They get trapped in the body and cause dis-ease. So it's regulating your body, feeling safe, all of that is part of it.
Living a life that is aligned. I mean, really, this is what the podcast is all about, right? Is living longer, stronger, more intentional lives, right? So really living, crafting a life that is all about you. And I don't really mean that in a selfish way, of course, but it's like putting yourself first, right? What do I want here? What's going on for me here? What do I need here? What do I really want to say here? You know, what's my truth? And how can I express that?
Yep. Because when you don't, your body will tell you, do you want to be unhealthy or do you want to put yourself first? Really? I mean, look at what my body said when I was about to get married. and I didn't listen. Yeah. I wasn't putting myself first.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't listen. We've been conditioned, I think, not to listen. Yeah.
No. And not to put ourselves first. That is selfish. So it's a mindset shift.
It is a mindset shift, but it's awesome, right? I mean, I have to tell you, I'm a lot happier today at 61 than I was at 21, right. 31, 41. Yep. Yeah. Yep. A lot happy and healthier. Yep. And healthier physically, yep. Mentally, spiritually, 100%.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 It's exciting.
Yeah.
All right. So if you have one piece of sage advice about living intentionally to share to listeners, what would that be?
Oh my gosh. Intention is everything. It is everything. And if you remember when I first started talking, I said, I will never end up in a place like that. That was intention. Intention is powerful. And we can create anything through intentions. And it's not a hope like, oh, I hope I have a new car. When I don't know, whatever. And it's like, I'm going to get that car and I'm going to get it by next year, whatever. Like, that's intention. So it's powerful and you're the creator of your life. So you can intend on anything and make it happen.
And yeah.
Yeah. I had a few, you know, detours along the way, but I get healthier with age. I say that. You don't hear that out there. It's not, mm-hmm. That's not something you hear at all. It's not a common thing whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm hearing you, sister. Yeah. I'm getting healthier with age too. I mean, literally, we just got off the trail today. We did a 10-mile hike in like 104 degree it was crazy, but it was awesome. And again, I'm 61. I've never felt better, right? So you're getting healthier with age. And again, mind, body, spirit, right? It's the whole thing, right? It's the whole thing.
Yep. Yeah. So set an intention. It's powerful. Set a powerful intention of what you want, but you've got to have that kind of conviction about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it is a feeling. It's not like a thought, right? So setting intention isn't the thinking thing. It's a whole body energy feeling thing where you really got to, it kind of comes up, right? It's a whole body kind of feeling, sensing your energy. Yes, definitely.
And whatever you intend, you can have.
That's right. Yeah.
You're the creator. Everything's energy.
That's beautiful. So, Jody, where can people find you and all your amazing work and goodness?
If you go to JodyJelene, which is my name.com, you can see my name on there. If you're on the actually peace, PEACE, like the peace sign, peaceofmyheart.net, NET. And if you want to, I have a quiz. You can go to peaceofmyheart.net/quiz. That'll tell you what emotions are affecting you and how to heal them.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely, if you send me that link, I'll definitely put all those listeners in the show notes. I think you're going to get a lot of people that are really curious about our conversation today.
Yes.
I'll get those in the show notes. I just want to thank you, really heartfelt thanks for your time today. Just such a warm, insightful, real conversation, and just so grateful for you. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was wonderful. Yeah.
Welcome.
We always have great conversations.
We do.
Thanks so much for listening. I truly appreciate you and your time. I love to hear from listeners, so connect with me at katechampionauthor.com. Remember to grab your free hiking guide, and please take a quick moment to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Thanks so much. Take care. Until next time. Hey, me again. Just a reminder, this podcast should not be considered professional advice. It's also not a substitute for mental, physical, or any other healthcare-related treatment. For any questions about your condition and or concerns, please contact a fully licensed healthcare professional. Thank you.